There's a lot of mystery involved with owning a business, and it creates an angst and a worry and an anxiousness that only a business owner can relate to. And I think there are a few things that we can continue to do. One is be very vocal. You know, there may be days that small businesses think paying dues to the chamber is the last thing I want to do, but it's also one of the most important things because the collective is always more formidable than the individual businesses themselves.
How really partisan is the California State Legislature? There is more agreement and cooperation than you might think, says today's guest, a former small business owner and current state senator. I'm Tony Melandra, NFIB California Senior Media Manager. We're proud to have this podcast supported in part by Five Star Bank, serving customers through specialized banking solutions for entrepreneurs, business owners, and community leaders in Northern California. Here to introduce our guest is NFIB California State Director John Kabatek. Take it away, John.
Well, thanks so much, and greetings, everyone. I am so excited. I'm really jazzed to welcome a great friend to NFIB and to small business, California State Senator, and my state senator, for that matter, Angelique Ashby. Angelique is new to the state Senate, but let's make no mistake, she is not new to public service or her appreciation for small business. She is the first woman elected to represent Sacramento in the state Senate in more than 20 years. Wow. Before joining the legislature, she served on the Sacramento City Council for 12 years. In that position, she did all kinds of things to help the city. She secured resources for stronger schools, public safety, women's issues, and definitely small business and creating jobs in the region. A single mom at 20 years old, Angelique worked full-time while attending UC Davis, and then after completing her undergrad, she went on to earn her law degree at McGeorge School of Law. She worked in various legal roles and firms before she created her own small business with her father, a consulting firm that's focused on foster youth, women, and community needs. She was elected to the state Senate in November of 2022, and at the time of this podcast, which is June 2023, she's been in this role for just about half a year. So I'm excited to hear how that's going and what her thoughts are. She and her husband, Zach, live in the Natomas community with their daughter, and they have two sons, one living in Sacramento and the other who's a student at the University of Oregon. Senator Angelique Ashby, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, well, we're so pumped to have you here, too, and this is just great, and thank you for taking the time. So let's just get down to it, Senator. What motivated you to run for the Senate? What were you thinking?
Great question.
What jump-started your brain to do that?
You know, I am sort of an unlikely suspect for public office from the get-go. It was never really a goal for me. And, you know, you mentioned in your intro that I went to McGeorge Law School, and a lot of people at McGeorge end up in political positions around our state. If you would have asked my class, which one of you is, you know, most likely to run for office, I promise you it would not have been me. And yet here I am. I think, you know, what has drawn me in is public service from the beginning. I ran for city council because my attitude towards city governments was, you know, if you want it to be better, you should go help. If you want to be, don't complain unless you want to do something about it. And so, you know, I started off like trying to get a stop sign in my neighborhood and then maybe a fire station. And I enjoyed those successes. And that really led me to running for city council. And being on city council, it's very rewarding, but it can also feel limiting because you're limited by the rules of the state, or you're limited by the district boundaries, or there are a lot of limitations. And I started to feel closed in by those limitations. And it made me want to stretch my arms farther,
right,
around more people. And that's ultimately what led me to the Senate race.
That's very cool. Well, before we get to the Senate, let me ask you, just looking back on those many years in the city council, you know, what are a couple things that you're really particularly proud of that Angelique Ashby really had a hand in that really, looking back, you really feel very proud about?
Well, first of all, I think it's really important. I hope every elected official that comes on here's answer to this question is you don't do anything by yourself. So there's nothing that I've ever done really in my whole life, but especially not as an elected official, that was just about me. Now, did I play a leadership role in some things? Sure, yes. But a leader's only as strong as the team that they're with. So I have to thank every member of the council and all of the people who were serving in the city. And of course, the constituents who stood with me and supported me. But some of the things I'm the most proud of, I built a very large and involved youth action corps with over 1,000 kids in it that were serving the city regularly and putting in over 30 hours a year towards it. That was really fun and rewarding to see kids just be excited about the city that they live in. And it's also been really fun. I've been at it long enough, over a decade, that I've seen some of them grow up and take on leadership roles that I know they made decisions based on their opportunities they had in the Youth Action Corps. I built a $50 million aquatics facility in my district that is spectacular. My jog goes right by that path, and I don't run by it without smiling and thinking, man, that was so worth fighting for. And I especially love in the summer when I get to see little kids in their goggles swimming in and out. And man, boy, is that rewarding.
Yeah. You've got a lot of focus on youth. And boy, I tell you, I mean, just giving them an avenue, right? After school, weekends, so many of the challenges we see elsewhere and around the country are when they don't have that. So that's really awesome. That's awesome.
But at the local level, John, it's fun to build stuff. Mm. I've built, you know, a dozen parks. And when you drive by and see kids having birthday parties and stuff, you just think, wow, that's so fun. But I also got to build a women and children's shelter. It was a project, Home Key Project. So actually, ironically, state funding. And now I've gone back and toured it as a senator. And I got to meet with some of the women and children who are benefiting from the services there. And that feels really good. So I've really had an opportunity. You know, I got to go to one of the playoff games this year when the Kings were in it. And we got to be a part of building the Golden One Center and keeping the Kings here. And it was really fun to watch 16,000 people cheering for them that otherwise would have been watching on TV if we hadn't been able to keep them. That was really rewarding too.
Ah, very cool. Well, you obviously ran for the Senate because you felt there was a great opportunity to do things on kind of a wider scale, not just for your district, but for California. And I know there's a lot of differences with that. What are you finding just in these first 6 months in office? I mean, is it everything you hoped and dreamed it would be, Angelique Ashby? Or is there?
I don't know if I... That's a great question. I wonder if I had a hope or a dream, or if it's just like faded to the back of my mind that I can't remember it. I think I'm pretty hard on myself, and I try to be really honest with people when they ask me these kinds of questions, because I think it's important that we all tell our own truth. I really dislike being new. I learned as much as I think a person could learn in 12 years about the city of Sacramento, and was positioned really well to make things happen. I like to get things done, and I have a bit of a reputation for it. And that is hard to do when you're new. So the tough part for me is just trying to learn a few hundred years worth of governance structure and style and how to really move through that system. So I think I'll be a little happier as a year two senator, maybe a little less hard on myself. But what I am loving every moment of is building the team around me. I have an amazing Senate team, getting to know all the incredible senators that are there. I've had tremendous support from the senators before me in Dr. Richard Pan and Daryl Steinberg, both of whom have taken good care of me as a new senator to try to show me the ropes and help me out. I love the opportunities that the state of California presents to its people. I know we get criticized a lot in California, but hard to think of a better place to live in terms of, you know, this environment, the can-do spirit, the endless opportunities and enthusiasm. And I'm proud to be a part of it.
Yeah. And the opportunity to work both sides of the aisle, across the aisle. You know, I think I shared with you a little before this podcast, you know, I was with former Senate Republican leader Scott Wilk just last night, and he said, you better not do this podcast without letting people know how big a fan I am of Angelique Ashby. And really, I think that's resonant in the building, that you really have worked across the aisle. I know I joke that you could probably fit as many Republicans in a phone booth these days if people still know what a phone booth is, but still they're relevant in terms of their votes and their representation, and he appreciates that. But I think the chance for you to work across the aisle. Let me ask you a question in terms of, I'd love to get down to some of the issues that you're championing and some of the things that come to you. But, you know, as we talk about bipartisanship and the opportunity mm-hmm. to get some things done. Where do you see, there's a lot of talk often about how divisive, you know, both sides of the aisle can be. But where do you see this year, Angelique, an opportunity for both parties to come together and really, really get some things done for California?
Well, I think, first of all, the Republican Party's representation in the legislature is very small. So if you were just going on party lines, there wouldn't be much opportunity for them.
Yeah.
And it would be easy for the members of the Democratic Party to be dismissive of them as well. But what I always remind myself is the legislature is a microcosm of the state. So while there are 40 senators and only 8 of them are Republican, there are still millions of Republicans in the state of California, and we represent them too. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important to listen and to understand when you're making laws and rules for a state that you consider as many people as you can. My own personal leadership style is to try to keep my mind open as long as possible so that I can be influenced by as many people and resources and information as possible. I wait till the last moment to make my decision. And then I make my decision based on what I think will do the most good for the most people that I'm responsible for. And having a friend like Senator Wilk to talk to, first of all, he's been there a long time. He understands that building. He's very kind and smart. And he's not a partisan politician either. He crosses the line all the time. And he's been good to me to help me learn. And he's also from Southern California, which I've never represented. So it gives me an opportunity to hear how a certain issue might affect people in Southern California, how an issue might make Republicans feel. He's also a man and he's older than me. So there's a lot of things that I can learn by listening to him that make me a better representative of the million people that I'm responsible for in Senate District 8. So I appreciate and value those relationships greatly.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And great perspective coming into this. And you and Senator Wilk really share that. What are some of those issues, you know, as you were campaigning, what are some of those issues really that have been so important to you? Maybe we'll start with that. Issues, bills, efforts you've been championing, or things you would like to see done in your head and your heart this year?
Well, I think the state Senate, they agree on most things across a multitude of lines. Look, the Democratic Party tent is massive. Had to go from one end of the extreme of the Democratic Party to the other end of the extreme of the Democratic Party is a long walk. It's a long walk, right? So it's not a monolith. Just because we all have a D next to our name, we don't agree on everything. So the pathway forward is really about commonality. And we're all here because we want the betterment of our state. And then we can have robust debate and dialogue about what that might be. One area I'm very interested in is water. And it affects businesses. It affects agriculture. It affects residents. It affects construction. It affects every aspect of our life. And ironically, as you know, in the role I had on the city council, I represented an area that was decertified behind a levee. And so I learned everything you needed to know about slurry wells and flood control, but flood control is the other side of the coin from drought. Mm-hmm. And drought is a constant potential reality for the state of California. So I have one bill this year that really focuses on that. And I found colleagues and friends and allies all along the state for a variety of reasons that don't have anything to do with party politics or even necessarily north and south. For example, San Diego and Sacramento have a lot in common in terms of water. And so there's real opportunity to work in that space. I've learned a lot from Senator Dolley about the Shasta Lake. It's the largest reservoir in the state and what that means to him and his economy in the northernmost part of the state. So I think water and agriculture, how we keep people fed, how we keep people well compensated, those are issues that we may debate around the edges, but we all agree are really important. The environment, you'll hear Republicans routinely get up and talk about how important the environment is to them. And of course, it's, moving forward on making California the number one location for environmental friendly rules and regulations has to be tempered with what works for our business community, what's possible, what our workforce can attain and achieve. And that's a constant dialogue in the state Senate.
Well, as you're walking around in the district and talking to small business owners, what are they telling you, Senator? What are they telling you that's on their mind that's keeping them up at night, if not just downright frustrated, or maybe things that they're really excited about, you know?
Well, you know, I owned a small business in Sacramento for quite some time, too. And I've been pretty connected to the business community in Sacramento for my entire, you know, time here, even before I was an elected official, through chambers and all of that. And I think one really important thing that we have to remember is that, first of all, not every business rebounded from the pandemic. Some of them had to change their business model entirely. Some of them, unfortunately, had to close their doors. Some are still reeling from that. And the workforce problems that really happened as we walked through the pandemic are lingering. So the cost of hiring, the cost of training, the cost of retention, many businesses trying to find that line between working from home remotely or having in-person business meetings, Zooms, all of that again. So I think we have to be mindful that it's a very different experience for industries, and we can't be so broad brushed with our approach that we leave some industries out or some segments of folks that for whom certain policy does not apply, right? The restaurant industry is a great example. You look at electrifying kitchens, right? First of all, maybe right after the pandemic isn't the best time to talk about it. Right. And second of all, there are certain styles of cooking, some ethnic styles of cooking for which there is no solution from an electric standpoint. So we have to be mindful of those dialogues, which means we have to include the people who will be impacted most by those regulations in the dialogue.
Sure.
And I think that's really important on a lot of levels.
We hear out there quite a bit that California is still very hostile to business. It's hostile to small business. Is there some truth in that? Do you think that there's truth in that? And what can be done? What do we need to do to just turn this ship around, even if gradually?
I think that it's not intentionally hostile to small businesses, but I think it does feel that way. Look, I felt that. When I was a small business owner, there were fees and fines and things that there's nowhere to even go to know that they exist until you've missed the deadline and then you get in the fines and fees. So there's a lot of mystery involved with owning a business, and it creates an angst and a worry and an anxiousness that only a business owner can relate to. And I think there are a few things that we can continue to do. One is be very vocal. Groups like yours, you know, there may be days that small businesses think paying dues to the chamber is the last thing I want to do, but it's also one of the most important things because the collective is always more formidable than the individual businesses themselves. Joining together to talk about what those problems are, what they look like. One thing too is to try to focus on areas where the state can be helpful to small businesses, not just always fighting where it hurts. So I know that cities, for example, have done some things around Wi-Fi that have made things easier for businesses. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, city paying for infrastructure, a lot of things around roads and bridges and, you know, egress and things like that can really help businesses. Business improvement districts. Boy, what a difference that makes when you're in a corridor that's struggling, but you all band together and you put in some trees and you put in some better lighting and parking and you have trash pickup and, you know, you deal with public safety. It will improve that business corridor for sure. We have examples all across the state where that's really worked. But every one of those solutions has come from a collective of small businesses working together to present a solution to their governance, city, county, state. And I think it's incumbent upon us to continue to feed those programs and to continue to be at the table with business representatives talking about what will make their businesses stronger.
Yeah. We'll be right back with more right after this.
Hi, I'm James Beckwith, President and CEO of Five Star Bank. We are excited to help bring you this series of podcasts focused on small business concerns in conjunction with the NFIB. When Five Star Bank was founded in 1999, it was business and community leaders, local entrepreneurs, who wanted to create the sort of personalized banking services they desired themselves. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. A true understanding of the needs of small business owners. I know a meaningful relationship with a banker can be hard to find. At Five Star Bank, we are responsive, understand your business, and are committed to your success. We want to be a part of your growth and a valued partner supporting your vision and your dreams. You'll find direct access to a banker, complete online and mobile business banking you need to succeed. As an SBA preferred lender, let us help you with your startup business or existing business. If you're looking to make a change, please give us the opportunity to demonstrate what our personalized banking services could mean for you. I promise you individual attention from our colleagues who understand your business and are as committed to your success as you are. You can find us online at fivestarbank.com.
Yeah, a couple issues that are not new to you or nor to Sacramento, but frankly, nor to the state. A couple issues that I'd love to talk about: crime and homelessness.
Yeah,
not new to you. What do we do about these? You know, we're hearing about so many retail theft that are, yes, we feel terrible about the big box stores, but so many of these small businesses that just feel helpless. And now they're escalating to more violent crimes. And then probably not mutually exclusive is the homeless problem, but it's a concern all on its own. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts about that. And are you seeing any movement in the legislature on any of those fronts that really bipartisan?
Yeah, I think there's definitely an acknowledgement that we have issues on these topics. Mm-hmm. There may be not consensus on how to proceed. Mm-hmm. And I'll just tell you, for me, on a lot of these issues, but particularly on homelessness. And I've been vocal about this at the local level. I'm vocal about it at the state now. I do think we have a housing crisis and I do think there's a housing issue. But if you think that solving for the housing issue alone is going to solve homelessness, you're delusional. Because until we get at the root of mental health problems and drug addiction in the state of California, we will continue to have a lot of these problems. So, you know, when you walk into any big city, really in the country, but especially in the state of California, you're going to encounter homelessness and you're going to encounter people having mental health crises or really suffering in their addiction. Mm-hmm. It is not a kindness to leave people in that state. It is also not a kindness to take people in that state and just house them or take them out of view. It takes a lot of services, a lot of resources to really make a dent in that problem. So we need the wherewithal to spend those resources on that issue. You know, there are several things moving through the legislature. I think of Senator Eggman right now, who's working on, you know, the definition of gravely disabled and how to bring back sort of a modern day mental health facility. Nobody wants to go back to the old days of, you know, psych wards. That's ridiculous. Nobody's going to do that. No one's going to agree to that. But we all agree that we need more mental health treatment facilities. We need more resources for people who are dealing with addiction and mental health services. And one thing that, you know, I know from being at the local level is there's no front door. So that's where we need to find that resource. We need to find a way to give a front door to mental health services. And we inundate our emergency rooms, which is crippling our healthcare system. And we have to give some reprieve in that regard too. Because these hospitals, especially small rural ones, are crumbling under that weight of trying to solve for issues for which they don't even have the resources and tools to address. So I think it's a mental health crisis. I think there's a drug addiction crisis. And then on the crime front, I think California is moving forward with some, I think, innovative and creative solutions on some of these things. We're not going to police our way out of it. And I'm a big supporter of law enforcement, but it is really a problem when not just the big box stores, but when businesses feel like it's not safe to open their doors.
Yeah.
And we have to, you know, we have to change that. Some of the best examples of ways I've seen that addressed is the partnerships. It is the PBIDs working together. It is, you know, having security on site that really is just observing and being present. Those things have all helped in certain areas, but we also need to acknowledge that issue at the state level and address it meaningfully, give our district attorneys the resources and tools they need to be successful in that regard so that repeat offenders are held accountable. Every offense can't be the first offense.
Right. And there's got to be a combination of, you know, diversion programs with accountability.
Of course.
No question. Right. Republicans and Democrats are agreeing with that. We just feel like there needs to be more movement. I think there were about 17 bills in the 2022 session. Like, I think 16 did not make it out of either committee. So I don't know what it takes for the leadership to kind of wake up to that and how bad it has to get. But it's your solutions are some smart ones I think we need to be thinking about.
Nobody's going to, on either side, is going to want to over-penalize people. Right. But I think in our attempt to reduce prison populations or to reduce workloads on district attorneys, we've allowed a gap that creates an opportunity for repeat offenders to not be held accountable. We need to close that gap.
Yeah.
And how we do that is controversial.
Yeah.
Right. And at the state level, there is no appetite to create like higher, stricter penalties or more felonies or over involve the police. So you have to do it in ways that it builds upon itself, where you give people opportunities, like you've talked about, a diversion program. And then if they fail the diversion program or they're on probation and then they repeat offense, then it starts to build upon itself. And then you identify a person who has a greater, higher need and is a greater, higher threat to the community.
Mm-hmm. Good thinking. I mean, you've had the luxury or the benefit of really being able to serve at the local and state level. You know about different resources available to small businesses. And, you know, Senator, one of the things we love about these podcasts is being instructive to our listeners. And I know Sacramento may be unique in some ways, but as you think back to kind of like local services and resources, yeah, might apply to any community, Glendale or San Diego or Riverside or anywhere, you know, Lassen County. What kind of resources could small business owners now turn to that you think have been helpful in Sacramento County that a small business owner really could benefit from here? Is it local or statewide that you're finding?
You know what I think is, I think it's easy when you're running a business, because it's hard. It's hard to run a business.
Yeah.
It's easy to become mired down in the day-to-day of just keeping that business going, dealing with your own staffing issues, dealing with your own inventory, all of that. My suggestion to people is to get involved, because you'll be amazed how many resources there are. Like at the city, for example, we put out millions of dollars to small businesses in forgivable loans during the pandemic. We still do tons of outreach. And these chambers, like the Black Chamber, for example, I just went to an event where they gave away marketing experience. They gave away website development to small businesses. Get involved in those chambers. The Hispanic Chamber of California is actually massive and well-funded and really organized. If you're not dialed into your local metro chamber or your local small neighborhood chamber, you're probably missing out. You're probably missing out. And maybe you're thinking of it as a networking opportunity. That is about this much of it. But when we as government officials try to get resources out into the business community, we are often disseminating them through large chambers or through large business agencies or business groups like yours. Mm-hmm. And so my recommendation to people that own businesses, and I know it's hard. I know it's hard because it's the work of five people just to run a business. But try very hard to engage in what's happening around you with the business improvement districts, with the chambers, with all of those kinds of city entities, and reach out. Go to some of those seminars and you'd be surprised what there is available for microloans to get a new section of your business started. This is the good thing about California: innovation. And this state is not afraid to throw money at businesses to try something new. And there are a ton of grants out there to ask businesses to be creative about things, especially in the technology industry, because we know we have so far to go. So I would say to small businesses, come up for air and do a little research online about what resources are available to you to be creative in the industry that you're working in.
That's great. And at the risk of sounding like an egregious plug for the one of the entities that's been a great sponsor of these podcasts, you know, like independent banks like Five Star Bank here, which is a Sacramento-based bank, has been a good supporter of these podcasts, but they really have been, they're one of, you know, a number of them out there that really are great local independent banks that are such great partners. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. So Five Star Bank is a terrific example. When I think about Five Star Bank, the first thing I think of is that their vice president, this is what I mean about being engaged. Their vice president is the president of the Little League in Sacramento, and also a former president of the Hispanic Chamber. You can't, that's the, when you bank locally, then you meet those people, then you get involved in all of those things. Pretty soon you have all these resources and this network of support. So yeah, I think that's a great example of an organization that's out there every day trying to help people.
Yeah, well, that's great. I think we're going to wrap it up shortly, but let me ask you just a fun question. What do you do for fun? Of course, being state senator, of course, is a pleasure cruise all in its own, but with your family and other things, what's something that you just, that Angelique Ashby really loves to do just to let the steam out and have
some. So, you know, my favorite title is not senator, it's not vice mayor, it's not cat's mom. I love to be with my kids. Cool. And I have kids at a variety of ages. My littlest one is just turned 10 and she's pure joy. I love to be around her and do things with her and be with her. And I have two boys, one that's just finishing up his freshman year of college. He'll be home next week and I can't wait. Be home for about 3.5 months. I'm looking forward to binge watching Netflix in the middle of the night with him. And and my oldest son is 28 and he's got a fiance and I just adore her. I love going to their house and letting them barbecue for me and hang out. And, you know, I really love time with family, but I also like to read and my family likes to do little day trips. My seatmate in the Senate happens to be Senator John Laird, who I adore. And he represents Monterey and Santa Cruz, which are two of our favorite getaways. Because as you know, they're about 2 hours from Sacramento, easy to go there for a quick visit and come back. And I just really enjoy being a part of this larger region and doing the things that Sacramento provides, going for hikes, going to Napa, visiting Senator Dodd's area. You know, getting over there to San Francisco for a day with friends, going to Ocean Beach. There's so much to do here that your weekends and have endless opportunity. And in the Ashby family, we take full advantage of all of that.
That's awesome. Well, the other title you could easily wear is Honorary Tourism and Fun Director for California. You're getting around and doing a lot, and certainly in the state capital. And we are so glad that you are there and really fighting for small business, but also for just the betterment of California. And Angelique, this has been so much fun. I so appreciate it. I guess only the other thing is there anything, first of all, how can people get in touch with you?
I was going to say before you go, I mean, the thing I want people to know is, you know, we're here for them. It's our job is to represent them. So if you're feeling like you want to reach out to a state senator, send me a note. That the emails and all of that are online. There's websites, but also I'm on every social media platform. You can always send me a direct message. Somebody will answer it, probably me. And you know what? I love to hear from people, especially when, you know, they have specific thoughts and ideas, or there's a certain bill that's really bothering them that I may not have influence over it, but it might be one that I do. And, you know, or there's something, for example, you know, I have one bill this year that is for craft breweries and it really just helps them because it was difficult for small craft breweries to be able to brew perry and cider at the same time that they're brewing beer. It's just a licensing issue. It's a pretty easy fix. So I'm carrying that bill for them. But, you know, at some point, a bunch of craft brewers had to raise their hand and say, if you made this slight tweak to the law, life would be a lot easier for us. And it's sailed through. Nobody's opposed it. There's no problems with it. So sometimes it's a matter of raising your hand and letting somebody know. So I would encourage people to reach out to me or whoever they feel comfortable reaching out to.
That's great. Well, I thought I really liked you before. Now that you're tackling craft brewery issues, I adore you. Hey, question for you. This also, what committees are you serving on? I know every member has different committees, just so people can know committees that you're a member of or ranking.
Sure. So I'm on the energy committee.
Okay.
I'm on the business and professions committee, which is one that the business community is pretty interested in a lot. I am on the judiciary committee. I'm on appropriations. Mm. I'm the chair of ethics. I am the vice chair, which means I'm the Senate lead for the Joint Emergency Management Committee. I'm on joint rules and joint fairs. And I may have missed one in there, but those wow. are the most of the, I'm on most of the big ones.
I'm glad you're barbecuing and championing craft brewery issues with that many committees you're tackling.
Yeah, it's fun, you know, and in terms of you asking me about issues, I have 11 bills this year and the yeah. vast majority of them focus on youth that are in crisis. Mm-hmm. I tend to focus on foster youth a lot. My big bill, my big reach in my freshman year is Senate Bill 307, which I did in honor of my dad, who worked in the foster care industry his whole life before he passed away. And if it passes, it will make college debt-free for former foster youth in the state of California, which is my reach goal.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, Senator Angelique Ashby, thank you so much. And we look forward to having you back if you'll come back one of these days.
Of course.
And
yeah.
have more discussion maybe as the legislature continues their journey, that walk you were saying, and you do. But we'd love to have you come back. And in the meantime, thank you for everything you're doing for Main Street and for California yeah. and just for being a good friend. Appreciate that.
Well, thank you. And thanks to your member organizations for, you know, investing in California, for spending their money here and being willing to hire people and go out and provide that network that every community needs to be successful, which is really driven by small business. So I'm grateful to them and here to serve. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to see you and hear you, and looking forward to sharing this with many out there. So you take care, and thanks, Senator Angelique Ashby.
Thank you, Senator Angelique Ashby, for your insights for this podcast. Again, we'd like to thank Five Star Bank for its generous support of this and future podcasts. You can learn more about Five Star at fivestarbank.com. You can find all NFIB California podcasts at nfib.com/ca/podcasts. That's nfib.com/ca/podcasts. You can also find our podcasts on your favorite podcast app by searching NFIB California. I would also like to thank Multipoint Content Strategies for its production of this podcast. You can learn more about them at multipointstrategies.com. Why podcasts for small business? It's been NFIB's educational mission for 80 years to remind policymakers that small businesses are not smaller versions of big businesses, and that a one-size-fits-all rule, regulation, or tax can do Main Street enterprises more harm than good. We hope these podcasts aid in better understanding. Finally, thank you to our listeners. If you like what you heard, please share this episode, subscribe, and give us a positive rating. We would appreciate it.